Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
NASCAR analyst for Fox. Larry, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are all doing good.
Yeah, we went down a weird rabbit hole. We started talking about Eddie Gossage, and I brought up that he attended Middle Tennessee State University, which is just down the road from where I am right now, and we just got off on a tangent. So how have things been on your end?
It's been good. I mean, it's been... Definitely, I'm 61 years old, and it's been probably the most interesting 4 or 5 weeks that I've probably ever experienced. But we just take it one day at a time, trying to be smart, trying to be safe. I really only leave the house about one day a week, and that's to go down to the Charlotte studio about 40 minutes away to be part of the iRacing events that we've been covering on Sunday. But other than that, I do not leave here, except for bare necessities. But I told somebody earlier this morning, other than not leaving the house, I almost feel like I'm as busy or busier than I was when we were in normal times. I mean, we have figured out, our bosses have figured out how we can still do the Race Hub show on FS1 every night. We do it through Zoom, as we see with a lot of other sports talk shows. The iRacing, I've been earlobe deep with it for the last 4 to 5 weeks, trying to learn as much as I can about that, because before this all happened, I didn't even know how to spell iRacing, so that's been a little bit of a challenge. But no, we're still do the radio show on Sirius XM NASCAR radio every day, so staying busy, but it's definitely different times.
No doubt. I mean, I've been blessed to be in this business 2+ decades, and I never thought in my lifetime I would be sitting in my house watching iRacing ever in my lifetime. And I would also watch today before the show, sitting there watching Denny Hamlin wreck his daughter in their house, and I would just be glued to stuff like that, right? We just never thought in our life, talking and covering sports, that would be a part of the fabric of what we do, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, everything is far from normal, and it's like I told my youngest daughter, Kendall, who's 22 years old, the other day. She said, "Dad, when do you think things will get back to normal?" And I said, "Well, I've got to be very honest and very candid with you that our new normal is probably not going to be what we know as normal." And you know what? Quite honestly, shame on us if it is. If we just go back doing all the same stuff that we were doing prior to this pandemic, then, we're probably going to get in trouble again. So, it's not something any of us wanted to see, but I think for the most part, it should be, and hopefully is a huge wake-up call of just the way we live our lives.
Yeah, Larry McReynolds on the line with us, and we will indeed talk about that in just a moment, Larry. But I would be remiss if I didn't bring up today, unfortunately, 5 years ago, you lost a friend, a colleague, and anybody who covered the sport. Man, if you ever had a run-in with Steve Burns, he was somebody that left a mark in your life, and it's hard to believe it's been 5 years today.
It really is, and Steve and I were teammates, from the time I started working with NASCAR on Fox, and he started working back in the early part of 2001 up until we lost him in April of 2015. And yeah, he was a coworker, he was a teammate, but first and foremost, he was just a really good friend. But as I said in a tweet that I sent out earlier this morning, I feel like I'm a better person because of getting to know and being able to work with Steve Burns. He just, the consummate professional. I don't think you could look the world wide and find anybody that would or could say anything negative about their relationship or their encounters with Steve Burns. He just was genuine. He was authentic, and there's probably not very many days that goes by that I don't think about him in some shape, form, or fashion.
Well said. So as we all try to come out of this and, like you said, be responsible when we do come out and figure out how this is all going to work, but it does look like we're starting to see some real sunshine in the sports world of, you know, sports organizations starting to say, okay, we are targeting this as our attempt to come back. How do you think? I think fans, we can push that aside and realize that it's not going to be with fans in the stands anytime soon. But how do you think this is going to work on your end moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously can't speak for my bosses at Fox, but, you know, it's definitely going to be different. It's going to be a very aggressive schedule. It's going to be a very different schedule. I think if you just do the simple math, it goes to show you that. Steve Phelps, the president of NASCAR, roughly a month ago when all this kind of unfolded, said that it will continue to be our goal to get all the remaining 32 points races in because it's a 36 race schedule. We have four in the books with 32 to go. He said it will also be our goal to not mix and mingle regular season races with playoff races. Again, we've got 22 regular season races to run and 10 playoff races. And, you know, it might not be the schedule as we know it. You know, regular season races could become playoff races and vice versa, just the way things are going to need to work out. You know, the possibility of one-day shows rolling in there and qualifying only and racing could be the norm. We could see some doubleheader weekends where there's a race on Saturday, there's a race on Sunday. And when I say that, you know, we have that a lot, but with different series, but we could see two cup races, which we were scheduled, and we'll see that anyhow at Pocono in late June because that's been on the schedule well before all this happened. We could see some midweek races, some primetime races. The moral of the story is a lot of things that we have talked about over the last several years, it looks like it may come to fruition and we may get an opportunity to try it. It's not the reason we want to try it. We'd certainly hate to see any of this that's happen, but it may force us to actually try things that we've kind of thought about and talked about for the last several years.
Larry McReynolds, Fox NASCAR with us, and I'm looking at this with the glass half full. I think that's the positive in all of this is what you just mentioned, the things that have been discussed and rumored. Now you may have a chance to try and can prepare for the future. I kind of think that's how they're looking at it, don't you?
No question. It's twofold. It solves, you know, two things. One, to get all the races in, and that's really important for the industry. We know any sport that has had to postpone events or even cancel events or shorten their schedule, that no matter what the sport is, you take a hit. But the industry itself, with NASCAR being so reliant on sponsorship, that's the lifeline of a team is sponsorship. The lifeline of the broadcast partners is advertising dollars. So when you reduce those number of events, it reduces the revenue that everybody gets to take in. So I think the one thing that NASCAR is looking at, you're just not going to create a perfect world. No matter how you try to get there to satisfy fans and teams and manufacturers and racetracks and just go on and on and on, you'll never get there in this situation. So I think what they're doing is looking at the two most important things, and that's the safety and well-being of what people would need to be at the racetrack, which would be the teams, the officials, the broadcast partners, and then secondly, just trying to get all these events in. Yeah, we would hate to see these events run without fans in the grandstand, but to be able to run them and be able to put them on broadcast television or radio for that matter, then, again, it's not the perfect world, but at least we would be back to racing.
Larry, I've spent a lot of this time, I've been a NASCAR fan my whole life, so I've spent a lot of this time watching old races that either you guys have been showing on Fox or NBC or YouTube, and including a couple of Daytona 500 wins from you with Davey Allison and Dale Earnhardt. But I've been able to look at the evolution of how the racing has changed. And you go back to the 90s and the momentum that the sport had, and then the 2000s with the Car of Tomorrow, which was necessary for safety, but it changed a lot of the racing. NASCAR was starting to get some of the momentum back. So how important is it to capitalize on that with this and possibly getting the races back and being one of the first sports that is back to help build that momentum that was already happening?
Yeah, I mean, I look back at our first four races, Daytona and then three races out on the West Coast, and the racing was and has been about as good as we've had in a long, long time. And, yeah, the last thing we wanted to see is to have a hold on what we were building. But I think with the iRacing that my bosses at Fox and FS1 has elected to have us do, and I tell you, a wake-up call to me that we might be generating some new NASCAR fans. Certainly when you're the only game in town, that helps the cause. But if I go back to our very first iRacing event at Homestead Miami Speedway about a month ago, yeah, we had over 900,000 viewers, which was a lot for a virtual race. But then a few days later, they came out with the number that of those 900,000-plus households that tuned in that day for that race, over 200,000 of them, almost 25%, had not tuned in to a single NASCAR event in 2020. So I think if we are the only game in town, and we will be the first to come back, then I think we've got an opportunity not only to keep our momentum, but to also bring in new fans that's not been a part of the NASCAR fan brigade.
You bring up the iRacing, and because of, you know, and I was aware of it being a race fan, but I had never been on it, so I signed up for it. And crew chief, I might need your help. I'm very loose, and I keep spinning out, but it's a lot of fun, and it's cool to see, you know, you brought it up to start this, that you're learning more about it, and your analysis, Jeff Gordon, of course, and he's been in the sim a couple times, and listening to Mike Joy and involving Clint Bowyer. It's been fun to see those different elements of the show while bringing people some form of racing, because these drivers are all competitive and have really embraced it.
No, they really have. And, you know, they're bringing their sponsors a little bit of showcasing in a time when, if we didn't have the iRacing, that they would be getting absolutely nothing. But, you know, when our bosses at Fox and FS1 out in L.A. and here in Charlotte, when they reached out to us about doing this, they had two objectives. First and foremost, I kind of go back to what I said a while ago about getting back to the track. They mandated that we did not turn our back on the safety and well-being of all of us doing these broadcasts. We're doing it with a very skeleton crew, about 10 or 12 people. We go to that studio. I walk in there wearing a mask and gloves. I go to my room that I'm in by myself. Mike and Jeff are in a room by themselves. They're probably 12 to 14 feet apart. Clint Bowyer's in a separate room because our boss has said, we're going to make sure you guys are taken care of and not putting yourself in any harm's way. But then the other objective was, when a time that everybody is distraught and they need a little bit of entertainment, that we, on a Sunday afternoon, every week, that we could, for an hour and a half to 2 hours, bring a little bit of entertainment and fun and create a distraction for what's going on in our society right now. And we iterate that every week when we have our conference calls on Thursday about what our goal is. But, yeah, it's our guys are competitive. You know, if they go out and do a pickup basketball game or just go out and play around the golf, I promise you they're there to do one thing and one thing only, and that's win, and it's really not been any different with this iRacing.
You and Bowyer are hilarious together, by the way. I'm loving it.
He's our Rob Gronkowski. I don't know what I would be. I don't think I'd be Bill Belichick, but you know, again, we talked about it. We and that's kind of the Fox philosophy. I go back to when they put our team together almost 20 years ago, in late 2000. They gave us a lot of mandates, but the number one mandate over and over and over was have fun. If you're not having fun, there's no way the people at home that's watching you can be having fun. So, and they really mandated that. In this, we still want to respect that we're doing a broadcast of a race. And you know what? We don't sell it as the real world, which I will say, it's about as close to the real world as I've ever seen with anything, and still be virtual. But it's just about some entertainment and having a little bit of fun. When that right now, that's something everybody needs a little bit of.
Larry, as we wrap this up, yesterday after the show, I just happened to be flipping around the channels, and Armageddon was on with Bruce Willis, and William Fichtner was in that movie, if you remember. And I started thinking back. Liz Allison and I used to do a show before every race out at the Nashville Super Speedway, and for whatever reason, he was there before one of the Busch races. In fact, I don't remember what the series was called way back then when it was here, and he came and sat down and talked to us and just started reminiscing about some of the, you know, the racing and people we used to talk to. We had a great show at our new convention center downtown back in December when you guys were getting ready for the award show here in town. Of course, we talked to a lot of people in your business about that your sport coming back to this city. Nashville needs NASCAR, a presence back in this market, especially at the fairgrounds. How cool that would be. How much chatter do you hear in your circles about that?
Well, obviously, over the last month, that's kind of dissipated. You know, we were anticipating before the season started that by now, or at least by the middle of next month, that we would have the 2021 NASCAR schedule out, and that we were anticipating it was going to have a very different look to it, that there may be some tracks that we go to twice now, that we would only be going to once in 2021, and there may be some tracks that we haven't been going to that may be on the schedule, and certainly Nashville Super Speedway is one of those. You know, I think a good start was bringing the banquet to Nashville, the awards banquet, to your point, as we did there in December. So, yeah, I guess now even all of that's kind of been put on hold because we sit here pretty much today on April the 21st, 2020, and we don't even know what the rest of the 2020 schedule looks like.
Sure.
But I think it's a place that everybody would embrace. I saw some pictures of it the other day, and it looked amazing. Of course, it's one of the tracks that I cut my teeth on as a mechanic back in the 70s with late model cars, dragging our car up I-65 every Saturday afternoon for that three-and-a-half-hour drive from Birmingham, Alabama. So it has a little special place in my heart. The only thing that I kind of raise an eyebrow about is I don't know how many years after we quit going to Rockingham that the fans said, "We want Rockingham back. We want Rockingham back." Well, you know what? NASCAR brought it back. Now, it wasn't with the Cup Series. It was with the Truck Series. They did it for 2 years. And I went over there for both races, and the weather was amazing. And I was so disappointed. The fans just did not turn out. So I hope if NASCAR does come back to Nashville, whether it's Cup, whether it's Xfinity, whether it's Trucks, whether it's two of the three or whatever, I just hope the fans live up to what they've been asking for, and that's bringing NASCAR back to Nashville.
Yeah, unfortunately, because we got burned the first go-around with Dover and the Super Speedway, we thought that track was built for a Cup race, and it never happened. And once everybody realized it wasn't going to happen, that's when they stopped going. Unfortunately, I think, Larry, for this thing to truly work and there to be an explosion and this to be a hot, hot ticket, which it would be, it would have to be the Cup Series because this market got burned, and I think they'll be very hesitant to come back unless we know for sure it's a Cup race. That's just my opinion. That's my dealings with going through that the first go-around.
Well,
and of course, NASCAR leaving
mindset,
in the 80s.
I think the mindset of the people guiding the NASCAR ship has changed a little bit. You know, I think there was always the fear, well, we can't go to a track that doesn't have 80,000-90,000 seats. But I think that mindset has changed a little bit. I think people realize now, you know what? If we can just fill the seats and fill to capacity, you know what? That makes it a little bit of a special race and a special event. So, again, I think we got to get 2020 back on track, and then I'm sure for the sake of a lot of folks, the 2021 schedule, we should be looking at it not too far down the road.
Larry, really appreciate the visit. You continue to be safe, and we look forward to watching your work hopefully really, really soon on the NASCAR side of things. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I appreciate it and love everybody that follows me on Twitter, at LarryMack28. And I do promise when we absolutely know we're going to go back racing, the old Larry Mack countdown will start, how many days it will be till we're back at the track. And being from Alabama, I saw an interesting stat the other day, but I will not share that with you, and that's how many days it's been since Tennessee beat my Crimson Tide. It has been a long, long time.
We've seen the same count. It's a sore subject in these parts.
You guys take care.
All right, thank you, Larry. Larry McReynolds, NASCAR on Fox, and that meme has been making its rounds of how long it's been since Tennessee has beaten Alabama in football. Good discussion there. We'll come back and talk a little bit about what you just heard on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.